many times have you read somebody's article, some commentary, something about the Bible, and they'll have a sentence here, and then they have several verses behind it. And when you read that, it's like, I know those verses don't say what that sentence says. Probably once a month, I will come across this. And it's not like he just puts one verse, you know, that correlates. He has several there, and it doesn't make any sense. When it does that in a book, and it does in a book, or an article, etc., then it's like, oh, I gotta be on my guard. I gotta watch myself. I remember the statement, first time I heard it was in the back of the cab, it was during our time on vacation, and the guy said, they fool you once, shame on them, they fool you twice, shame on you. That's true, but don't be fooled once. You don't have to be fooled once. You know, I used to quote Reagan. Reagan used to say, trust but verify. And then Reagan said he got it from the Russians. Trust but verify. And so it's the idea of that if you're going to believe the sentence, we're going to have to go back and make sure these verses substantiate this premise. Because sometimes that's just not the case. And when Jesus is teaching here in John chapter 5, he is making the point that what he has to back up what he's saying. Now, what he's saying is incredible. We covered that last week with the claim that Jesus says who he is. He's not claiming to be just a prophet. That would be substantial enough. He is claiming to be equal with God. And even though I've said that a number of times, sometimes that fact just hits me, just knocks me over. He's claiming to be equal with God, and they're upset with him that, and he has five things that he is equal with the Father. Whatever the Father does, he can do. Equal in power. The Father raises life. He can raise the dead. And he proves it three times. Jesus says that the Father is given all judgment to the Son. And therefore, they're equal in honor. As you honor the Father, you honor the Son. There are several things in John 5. Let me turn my Bible there. Our PowerPoint is off today. It's not working. So we're going to walk through this. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to John chapter 5. And that's Acts 5. No wonder it doesn't look right. Jesus says that he is equal with God in those five things, in the power, in knowledge, in raising the dead, in judging, and in honor. And that's an incredible premise, a statement, a sentence. That's an incredible thing to claim. You're equal with God in this area. So what does he get to back it up with? Well, there are several things, or at least four things we're going to walk through. I want to start off with verse 30 and 32, where we left off last week, John 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. And that's an incredible statement. I can do nothing on my own initiative, nothing on himself. And I've asked myself the question, does he mean it's impossible for him to do anything on his own? Or it's his choice that I am not going to do anything on my own initiative? Not exactly sure, but I think it's the latter. I think he's making that determination. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true.
There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true.
Jesus made this sentence, this statement. He's equal with God. He said, now, if it's just me, if I'm just the one saying this, he's not asking us to believe it on that fact. That's not the substantiating fact.
He's going to give us four or five in just a moment. But I want to dwell on what he said there because I think it's, for me, it's very significant. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. Now, he has said earlier that the Father has given the Son all judgment. But I thought God was going to judge us in the end. Well, he is. But it's through the Son. And when the Son judges, how does he judge? Not on his own initiative. So who's really judging? The Father or the Son? Well, if the Son is saying exactly what the Father says, I mean, absolutely on it, nothing on his own initiative, well, then who's really judging us? Well, it starts off with the Father, goes through the Son verbatim, and then to us. I think to myself, you know, once a while in Scripture, that's what I'm doing. And suddenly I feel relieved because there's some things that bother me when I make a judgment. And I realize, you know, Dan, it's not me that's judging. This is God. And it's like, okay, the burden's kind of gone. I ran a 10K yesterday at Corinth, Mississippi with my son, and he gets me to do the 10K. And we're getting up, and this is a Coke race. They call it the Coke race. Coca-Cola sponsors it, you know, down in Corinth, Mississippi. So, anyways, you're getting to go. And so, there's a lot of Christians that run it. I'm surprised. Even the people I knew from Florida, they come off and school for this run race. There's probably 3,000 people. And it's huge. And so, we start off with the race. And the lady gets up and sings America the Beautiful, I think it was. It's a great song. She did a great job. And she handed the mic to the lady. And she led us all in prayer. I'm just like, gulp. And I had my hair on because my hair was all messed up. And I just told you I was going to be out in public because we were going for a run. So I took my hat off. But do I pray along while she's saying the prayer? Am I going to be led? Is that right? Now, I love the fact that the lady sang. She did a great job with the song. But I go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I read what Paul says about the roles of gender. Oh boy, that's a subject you don't want to raise, Dan. Well, God raises it all the time. Now, I've got my choice. I can either do it on my own initiative, or I can let God make the initiative and I can just lip sync it. Should I just lip sync it? Can I record a sermon and then just lip sync it afterwards? You know, song singers, they can sing a song privately and get on the stage and lip sync it, right? It's them singing it, but they're not exhausted because they're dancing around on the stage. When Jesus judged, he did it exactly as the Father said. And so when I judge this issue about gender, shouldn't I? Is it my personal judgment? I'm not. I've got to make a determination. I'm not going to judge on my own initiative. If I do that, my judgment's not true. But if I'm judging on God's initiative, if I'm going to back it up with what God says about this sentence, then it is true. Trust. But verify. So let me go to 1 Timothy. I was heading there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It takes time to verify. You've got to find that passage. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Begin. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearl or costly garments, but rather means of good works, as is proper for women.
women making a claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. But I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Not to teach or exercise authority over a man. I don't think a woman ought to lead a prayer in public or in a setting where you're calling upon God. The public prayer, is that my personal? That's what I'm trying to say. I love the singing. The lady did a great job. I'm glad she sang. Sang 10 times better than I sing. But if I disapprove of a prayer publicly, is that my personal? It's not. It's not mine. I'm going to follow what God says. And in the end, it's going to be His judgment, not mine. And I think that's really important when we go to God's Word.
Now, I can twist. Can you twist the Scripture? Can you bend it? Well, people do that all the time. Because we want to bend it to our bias. Bend it to upon ourselves, our initiative. I don't want to do that. I want to be as transparent as I possibly can. Trust, but verify. Jesus has made the claim. He's equal with God in 5 points. Now listen how he backs it up. In John chapter 5, verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I received is not from man. But I say these things that you may be saved. John the Baptist testified of Jesus that he's the Christ. That's one verification. Behind the sentence, that's one verification, John the Baptist. 35. He was a lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me.
So, first of all, John. Second of all, the miracles that Jesus performed testify about. He's backing up the claim. He's equal with God. He's not done. Verse 37. The Father who sent me has testified of me, and you have neither heard his voice or seen.
You have neither heard his voice, nor have you seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent. Now Jesus says the Father testified. And we know at the baptism of Jesus, the voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus trusts that. And he's letting us know the Father verified. And then he says this, verse 39, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It's these that testify about me, and you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." The Father, the Son, the works, and the Scriptures all testify of who Jesus is. He's backed up the idea that he's God in the flesh. And when he arose upon the first day of the week, in our Matthew 28, in our Mark 16, in our Luke 24, in our John 20, he verified everything he said. Trust, but verify. They fool you once, shame on them. No, back up. If you're fooled, it's because we allowed ourselves to be fooled. We can always verify. And I want to encourage you, always verify. That we can build a spiritual life on what Jesus has taught. And he's told us he got it from the Father. It's not from himself. and I believe the testimony about him. Today, you believe in Jesus and you've not come to him? Jesus told the Jews, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. They bear witness of me. He's a person. And you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life? How ironic. Study this book and never actually come to the author of the book. The book is good for one reason. I want to trust the author. It's Jesus is the one that's going to save me. He's going to save you. If you trust, if you follow. Perhaps you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, and you want to trust and verify. You want to have your sins forgiven. You want to repent from your sin, to be baptized, to be born again, and have your sins washed away. We bid you to come forward while we stand, while we sing.